Please turn to John chapter 12, beginning in verse 20. We're in a, what you might call like a hinge chapter in the Gospel of John. It's like a doorway. We've gotten through the first half of John, chapters 1 through 11, and 12 is sort of a hinge moving us into the second half. The first half, focusing on Jesus' miracles, his signs, the significance of his works, what it means. The second half is often called the Book of Glory because it's about the glory of Jesus being revealed, but in a very unique or surprising and unexpected way. In chapter 12, beginning in verse 20, we're going to be learning about a lot, but what I want us to focus on is authenticity. People use the word a lot. I mean, it's been around for a while as sort of a more popular word. Maybe it's even dying out in popularity, but what does it mean to be authentic? What is that all about? Is it something worth pursuing? Is self-expression, authenticity, what life is about? And if it is, how do you do it? How do you go about knowing how to be authentic? Well, let's consider that today from our passage in John 12, beginning in verse 20. Now, this is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast, that is the Passover feast, were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that according to your grace, your kindness, your undeserved kindness and mercy, you would lavish your Spirit upon us, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, so that we might know and understand and apply your word for the glory of your name, for the good of your church, for the good of our neighbors. In the name of Christ, amen. Go ahead, go home, and type authenticity into Google. Or rather, go to YouTube. Check out what's there, what comes up. You'll find that all kinds of people from every walk of life are discussing authenticity. Or maybe you should write in there, "Express yourself." This is very much what authenticity is about. Like I said, you'll find people from all walks of life. People like Bevy Smith, a fashion designer. People like Bruce Lee, karate master. People like Jordan Peterson, a former university professor, now pop scholar. All of them. You can find musicians making songs called Express Yourself, in different genres even. It's a very popular notion, this authenticity. Who am I and how can I express my true self? And if you listen to Bevy Smith or Bruce Lee or Jordan Peterson, they have some slight differences amongst them as to what it means to be authentic and how you can go about being authentic, but there's a baseline they all agree on. And that is, you got to do the work yourself. Go and figure out who you are. Go into yourself. Figure out who you are. Once you've done that, now express yourself. That's the baseline. Either you go in with your mind or you feel it in your body or something, but you've got to figure it out. Once you figure out who you really are, then you go ahead and express yourself. Well, I didn't need to watch a YouTube video to know that. But that's what people think, because I was born and raised here in the States. And that's just in the air. I remember I'd had a couple bad years in life, and I was on a summer vacation, and I got a notebook. I was about 20 years old or so. And on the front of the notebook, I'd had, you know, a couple bad years, but on the front of that notebook, that summer, I wrote something that's a little embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you guys because I love you, and I know y'all are going to laugh at me, and even if you laugh at me, I'm okay because I'm in Christ. But I wrote, "This is my year." You know, all those other years previous, I wasn't shining. People weren't seeing, you know, the real me, like, because that's what the world is waiting for, right? To see the real me, to see me shine, to have it be my year. The authentic Tim, the real Tim, the Tim that's been held down. It's going to shine. This is my year. But in this passage we hear Jesus say, "This is my hour." And there's actually a correspondence here. There's actually a correction here. And it's the correction of Jesus that I so desperately needed, and that we need, and that our friends and neighbors need. Life is not about revealing me. Life is not about expressing myself. That's the wrong notion. In fact, Jesus teaches us that if that's the notion we have, we lose ourselves. Instead, Jesus teaches us, life is about revealing Him through us. Life is not about revealing me, it's about revealing Christ through me. In fact, even more, it's about revealing Christ through us. And that is true life, and that is eternal life. Let's see how that breaks out from God's revelation, His Word. Beginning in verse 20, it says, "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast, Passover, were some Greeks." Greeks is like shorthand for Gentiles. Greeks is like shorthand for Americans, Chinese, African, anybody who's not Jewish. And these people showed up at Passover. Now at Passover in Jerusalem, normally Jerusalem had 25,000 people. Jerusalem right now has 4 or 5 times that in this festival. 100 to 125,000 people crowding in Jerusalem for this Passover feast. And you've got these Greeks who aren't Jewish, but respect Judaism and appreciate their religion, and they come to see it and to participate on the level that they were allowed to participate in. Verse 21, they came to Philip, who was from Galilee, and they asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Not surprising, Jesus was all the buzz at this time. In fact, people were saying that he had even raised a dead man named Lazarus. And they want to see Jesus. And of course, that means they want to go up to him, meet him, maybe ask him some questions. But in the Gospel of John, it's a bit deeper than that. Not always, but often the word for see carries with it a whole lot of freight. To change the metaphor, it's sort of a pregnant word. There's more to it than just the surface meaning. Philip himself, the same one who was asked by the Greeks if they could see Jesus, Philip in chapter 14 says to Jesus, "Jesus, let us see the Father, and it's enough for us." And he says to Philip, "Philip, have you been with me so long? You don't know that to see me is to see the Father." There's a deeper perception. If you're believing in me, trusting in me, if you've been following me, you will have a deeper perception of my works and of my words, that I am revealing not just myself, I am revealing another. I, the divine Son of God who has become man, is revealing the divine Father. And so with these Greeks wanting to meet Jesus, don't even realize what they're asking. And of course, that's what they ought to want to see. That is what the world ought to want to see. They don't want to see me reveal myself. We ought to want to see Jesus reveal the Father. And Jesus answered them, that is Philip and Andrew, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And that is what glorified means in John. It means to reveal. When Jesus will be glorified, something will be revealed about Him. And it is this hour for revelation, the hour that Jesus has been speaking about continually throughout this gospel. Do you remember Jesus' mother, noting that they'd run out of wine in the wedding in Cana, saying, "Jesus, can you do something about it?" And he said to his mother, "My hour has not yet come." On throughout the gospel, Jesus speaks about the hour that is coming, but with the Greeks coming to see him, it triggers something in him. He knows the hour has come. It is time for the Son of Man to be revealed, to be glorified, to be made known. This is what the world most needs. And one might expect that that means that he will take off his commoner's clothing and put on the king's robe and sit on the throne with his mighty scepter and strike down his enemies in all of his glory and splendor. But what it really means, Jesus explains in a metaphor in the next verse. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus' glory finds its center in his shameful crucifixion on a cross. He is the seed that must die and go into the earth and be under the power of death for a time. What Jesus reveals in his crucifixion is his unselfish, unself-centered, self-giving love for us, for you. Christ's glory is making the heart of the Father for sinners like us known. Christ's glory is making that same heart that he has for us known by going to the cross in our place, dying for our sins so that we do not need to die and go to hell. Christ being buried, going into the shame and the guilt, Christ fundamentally having his heart broken for us. Not thinking of himself, not holding on to what he could have held on to. He could have stayed in heaven. He didn't have to come down. But he thought of us first. He honored us before he would honor himself. He got on his knees and washed our feet clean. Christ's glory is revealed in the cross, in his unselfish, self-sacrificing love. And that is what the world needs. A revelation of him, of God's heart. But do you note how Jesus' metaphor turns and shifts immediately to us? Because it's when a seed dies that it produces something. You see, if it remains alone, it remains alone. But if it dies, it makes others like itself. You see? Jesus will die to make others like himself. And by making others like himself, he will be revealing himself through those others. Life is not about me revealing myself apart from God. Life is not about me expressing my authentic character apart from God. That was never what life was meant to be. Life was always meant to be lived to bear God's image. And Christ comes to undo our sinful desire to selfishly live, to express self, so that by dying for us and sending his Spirit and uniting to us to himself like his body, we, like seeds that are of the same character, might live unselfish, self-sacrificing lives of love for others. And that is what life is about. And that is the good life. Life is about revealing Christ through us. We don't have time. We could further examine the next two verses. Certainly it's worth it. I will say one thing that Jesus says if you love your life in this world, you will lose it. But if you hate your life in this world, then you will gain it not only now, but for eternal life. And I want to point out just one thing. When Jesus says hate your life, and when I'm saying life is not about expressing yourself, but becoming a conduit of expression of Christ's love, it does not mean that you hate yourself. Jesus is using rhetoric here. Jesus, in fact, tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. He's expecting that you will love yourself. He's expecting that you'll create healthy boundaries. He's expecting that you will tell other people about your needs. He's expecting that you will pay attention to your emotions and appropriately respond to them. And he's expecting that you'll take showers and brush your teeth and floss and other things like that. Okay, we're not talking about asceticism and going and whipping yourself and that's what really pleases God. No. What he means is, for those who love their life, who say life is about my identity, This life is about me knowing who I am and expressing who I am. That very life and self that you so love and place on the highest throne in life will be lost if that's what we do. But if we hate our life, Jesus using rhetoric, if you stop treating yourself that way and instead learn this way of so depending on Jesus that you become a conduit in your own individual way of His love, you actually gain your life. You gain yourself, your true self. This is the way to true life. And yes, it's hard. It means death on a daily basis as we see that desire to place ourselves in the highest place. We continually have to take it back down and pray and depend on Christ and seek to live life in that unselfish, self-sacrificing way that we have learned from Him who laid His life down for us. But there's also in this life where we are continually putting sin to death, it is also putting on Christ. There is a new joy, there is a more profound happiness, there is a peace of conscience that comes with this life that cannot be known apart from Him. And one day that will all end because Jesus says the Father will honor such people who follow Christ in this way. And when He returns, when He makes all things new, when we enter into the resurrection body and the everlasting state, we no longer will be at war with ourselves. We will enter into the fullness of the peace of what it means to be one with God, in communion with God, glorifying and enjoying Him forever. I had a friend, and he was a great runner. His whole life was about running. In fact, he got very, very good at it. You could say it was who he was. That was who he was. He found out who he was, and he was expressing who he was on that track year after year in his life until he got into the very best college and was running and competing. And he was on a long run one day, and he had a great sense of humor. I wish you could actually just hear the story from him. He was in the middle of the run. He was actually doing quite well. But during the run, he started having some questions. Is this really all there is? Is running really what is my life is all about? Is this really what I want my life to be about? Is there something more? And he stopped running. And he didn't just stop running for a second, grab a Gatorade, and then get back to it. He literally stopped running and left the race. It was not long after that that God showed him that there is more. It's not simply about finding what you're all about and then expressing it into this world. God showed him the Lord Jesus Christ, who made His life about expressing the Father, who made His life about expressing a heart of unselfish, self-sacrificing love for others. My friend now is on the mission field in an undisclosed country where you could get your head chopped off for telling people about this loving, self-sacrificing, unselfish God. But we don't have to go to closed countries to share this love, to be able to express this, to reveal Christ through us. We do it here, now, in our church, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, in small ways and in big ways. We will fail. We will fail every day, but His grace and forgiveness is enough. So let us run this race, not with our eyes fixed on ourselves, but with our eyes fixed on Him who has gone before us and who will bring us all the way. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have sown Your Son into the earth, that we might be born again, and that we might be conduits to reveal Him in this world. Grant us as a church, and grant each of us individually to do that, Lord. We don't deserve it, but we know You delight to use us in this way. Help us to live our lives in communion with You, to know You, to know Your love so well that we can express it well in our age and our time, for our neighbors and for one another, for this is what we most need. In Jesus' name, amen.